We're back with more of Lake Effect Weekend on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Curiosity led Ellen Folletti to take a class in material culture at UW-Madison. Folletti is a second-year master's student in the Library and Information program, but she says her interest in the stories objects tell led her to two semesters focusing on 19th century ceramics.
In this edition of Radio Chipstone, Folletti and contributor Jennifer Fields meet at the What's in a Jug student exhibition at the Chazen Museum in Madison to discuss the importance of inclusion when it comes to both information technology and museum collections. The challenge for both is to find ways to break down barriers, real or imagined, and to offer people a chance to discover their own stories reflected in the once everyday objects that are now behind glass.
I think, especially in art museums, putting objects behind glass, it creates this idea of, like, I have to get this or understand something. Like, I'm afraid of what I think about it to be wrong, you know? For me, it was emphasizing this idea that these were everyday objects then, and, like, how can we value our everyday objects now and see them, like, what is something that I own that I would consider museum-worthy, and is that just what it is what we consider to be museum-worthy? It's hard to make a connection to, like, see yourself in some of these objects when it feels so far away, when they're from the 19th century.
I have my father's stainless steel Stanley thermos that he carried to work for him for 30 years. That, to me, is as priceless as one of these things. And I think that that's the idea that I want people to sort of get into it. Just because someone else has determined this thing to be priceless does not mean that your thing that you have is worthless.
Right. At the beginning of the class, Anne had us bring in our favorite object that, like, we could carry liquids in. And I brought in a plastic cup, so something that's manufactured and, like, everyone has. But it was from my grandmother's. I remember going to her house and, like, drinking milk out of it and, like, watching TV with her. And, like, it's the memory behind it. And I think even though it's something that's, like, mass-produced and every child from the 90s probably had, like, that's as priceless as something that's in a museum. And I think that's something that I hope to, like, help people recognize, is that we don't need to feel that what we own or, like, the stories we have aren't worthy of being shared or told or, like, put in a museum somewhere.
Is that notion butting up against the traditional ideal of what a museum is? Are you finding, as you get more and more into your studies, there are things that you just don't agree with? How do you then go about reconciling that? How do you work through that?
I know in libraries and archives, we talk a lot about making sure that people feel welcomed and making sure that they can start seeing themselves in the stories that are told or in the collections that are held. And that's very encouraging. Sometimes it feels like it's more of the newer professionals that are into that idea. It's very easy to come across people who are just like, well, this is how it's always been, so this is how it will always be. And it's encouraging to see, like, my peers and my colleagues be more focused on who's not being represented or whose story can we amplify that hasn't been told before or is not as popular as what the mainstream is. But there's a long way to go, definitely. But I'm excited to be a part of that. And I think a part of that is also just knowing that I still have so much to learn. So once I graduate, that doesn't mean that I'm done learning, and that doesn't mean that I know everything. I think it's approaching communities, whatever community, it's approaching them saying, I can provide the basic tools, but you have the knowledge, that we can work together to make sure that items or memories are preserved and can last, and how to amplify those stories. But we're learning from each other in that aspect, that we're both students, but we're both also the teachers in that.
Ellen, why is this important to you?
I've gone to museums and I see items and I feel like I'm not supposed to be here, or, like, going somewhere and seeing objects that I've read about in books or like seeing on the internet or something, like to actually be in those spaces, it's so easy to feel like I'm not supposed to be here, like I don't fit in. But I do belong there. Everyone belongs there. I mean, I think museums want to promote their collections, and there is importance to the histories behind them, but also I want to make sure that they're not continuing to isolate people or making other people feel isolated, and because I know how that feels and it's not a good feeling, I like want to break down that barrier of like elitism and that feeling of isolation, because I think we can do so much more once we involve more people. For me, it's on the institution, the museums, the libraries, to make sure that they're creating spaces that do feel welcoming.
Material culture contributor Jennifer Fields curates the Radio Chipstone series. The project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts. This week, Jennifer spoke with Ellen Folletti, a UW-Madison second-year master's student in the Library and Information Studies program.